Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Now, this is not going to seem like first Sunday of Advent sermon, okay? First Sunday of Advent, right? You know, Jesus, our hope. I'm not talking about Jesus, our hope this morning. I'm going to talk about something that is going to get us through these weeks of Advent, living joyfully. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. And it came to pass, verse 11, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this one stranger. And he said unto them, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made you whole." This story, for me, typifies people who have every reason to be grateful, but aren't. Not like many of us at times, or maybe I'll just personalize it because you're probably far more spiritual than me. Not like me at times, every reason to be grateful, but often not like I should be. In the story today, Jesus can't believe their lack of gratitude. Jesus, you can hear it in his voice. Jesus asks, "Were not all 10 cleansed, but where are the other 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this one foreigner?" Barclay's commentary on this verse says this. It says, "No story in the Gospels so poignantly shows a man's ingratitude like the lepers in Luke 17. The lepers came to Jesus with desperate longing. He cured them, and 9 never came back to give thanks." He goes on, "So often once a man has got what he wants, he never comes back." Now let's look at these men and let's look at some reasons why they should have been grateful. Let me just summarize it maybe. They had sort of a rough past. It says, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, which stood afar off." Here's some commentary on leprosy. Leprosy was the most terrible disease of the day of Jesus. It was greatly feared. It was disfiguring and sometimes fatal. The leper himself was considered utterly unclean, physically and spiritually. He could not approach within 6 feet of any person, including his family. Well, this sounds like COVID, doesn't it? "His clothes shall be rent and his head bare. He shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' He was judged to be dead, the living dead. He had to wear a black garment so he could be recognized as from among the dead. He was banished as an outcast, totally ostracized from society, earthly and heavenly. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him," this is from Leviticus, "all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He will dwell alone. Outside of the camp shall his habitation be. He could not live within the walls of any city. His dwelling had to be outside the city gates. He was thought to be polluted, incurable by any human means whatsoever. Leprosy could only be cured by God alone in his power." So imagine with me the anguish and the heartbreak of the leper, being completely cut off from family and friends and society. Imagine the emotional and mental pain that they went through. That was the state of these 10 who came to Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, it says there met him 10 that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Isn't it interesting that lepers who come to Christ get the same response from him as anyone who calls out to him? Imagine these guys who were complete outcasts finding the Messiah. Those who never thought there was hope for their lives being changed were changed after an encounter with Christ. I happen to believe that those who have an encounter with Christ should be the most joyful, grateful people on earth. How many of you agree with me? I like what Charles Dickens wrote. He said, "Reflect upon your present blessings, of which every man has many. Reflect upon your present blessings, of which every man has many, not on your past misfortunes, of which all men have some." So like these lepers, I happen to think that because they had an encounter with God and their life was changed, that they should have been the most grateful men on earth. But only one was. Do you know that ingratitude is actually a sign of those that are outside of Christ? It says in Romans chapter 1, it says, I'll read a verse before it. It says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that all men are without excuse." Listen to this next verse though. "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him." So it's a sign of those who are outside of Christ. So those who are inside of Christ should be extremely grateful people. Do you know that it says in the Bible that ingratitude will actually increase the closer we get to the last days? It says this in 2 Timothy. It says, "Mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days." Now, most of this list, I understand it. It makes sense. There'll be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. But notice this next word, ungrateful. And then he goes on with the list. Unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash. You got it. Conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Isn't it amazing that in the middle of that list, one of the things that will mark the end times is that people will not be grateful. Third thing I want you to see here is that their lives were changed completely as a result of meeting Jesus and walking out his command. It says, they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Notice that word, that phrase, "as they went." This is a principle all throughout Scripture, that we have to walk out our faith. God often requires acts of obedience before we see the fulfillment of the promise. How many of you figured that out in your life? Anybody? Oh, three people. Well, I hope the rest of you figure it out quick. You remember the children of Israel? He made them walk around the city once a day for 6 days, seven times on the Sabbath. They had to walk it out before they saw the fulfillment of it. You remember Naaman in the Old Testament? He had to dip himself in the Jordan seven times before he got his healing. God often requires us to walk this out. So notice it says, as they went, they were cleansed. So the point is this, they find Christ, their lives were dramatically changed by responding in faith to his command. So they should have been the most grateful group of guys on the planet. Now look with me at what the one who is grateful does. Notice that they all had the same set of circumstances, but only one showed gratitude. What were the results of him being grateful? He realized that God had been very good to him. How many of you know God's been very good to you? No matter how bad it is, God has been very grateful to you and me. He realized that God had been very grateful to him. As you look at your life today, can you see that God has been very good to you? And grateful people realize how good God has been to them. I came across this little poem. It says this: count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your gains instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends instead of your foes. Count your smiles instead of your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your full years instead of your lean. Count your kind deeds instead of your mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. Count on God instead of yourself. So I went shopping before Thanksgiving. I like to go shopping a week or two before Thanksgiving for Thanksgiving because I don't like crowds. I like to get in, you know, hunt, capture, kill, and take it back. It just seems right. This wandering around looking at stuff doesn't make sense to me. Get the list, go in, capture, kill, bring it home. So I'm in the supermarket, and in my town, the store manager of the supermarket in my town is like the mayor. Everybody knows him. If you were to ask everybody in this room who lives in my town that shops at that store, they all know him. He's like the mayor. They know his first name. What's his name, people in Marshfield? See, what did I tell you? Everybody knows him. Do you know the store manager at your supermarket? Of course not. This is abnormal. So he's like the mayor. So I'm walking in. I'm grabbing my turkey towards the back of the store. There's only six of us coming to my house, and I got a 22.5-pound turkey. So shows you a little bit about me, right? So as I'm there grabbing my turkey, he comes out from the back room, and he sees me. And he says, now, by now, he's figured out who I am and what I do. He said to this lady over here one day when she was in there handing out masks or something during COVID, and he said to her, he said, oh, your priest was just in the other day. So he's figured out who I am and what I do. So he comes out from the back room and he says, hey, how are you? I said, Mario, no complaints. God is good. And he said, we have a lot we could complain about, don't we? And immediately it came out of my mouth, not as a rebuke or a correction or anything like that. It's just, I was happy. I was shopping for Thanksgiving. I'm thinking about the holiday. My kids are going to be over. My grandchild is going to be over. Who cares about the kid? The grandchild's going to be over. I was happy. Is he here? He just went downstairs. Somebody said to me, this is good. If you know this lady in our church, her name is Beth Morin. She said she met me outside the door, and my grandchild had been up in the balcony, and he was making noise during church, and it didn't bother me a bit, you know. And she came out to me afterwards, and she said, okay, I've known you for like 30 years in church, and I remember the days you would have said, okay, excuse me, we'll wait for you. Would you mind downstairs? I said, yeah, but now it's music to my ears. So, and I actually did kick people out of church. How awful was that? Where were we? Oh, so back to my story. Yeah, no complaints, Mario. God is good. He says, yeah, we have a lot to complain about. And I said, but so much more to be grateful for. And he looked at me and he said, you are so absolutely right. So grateful people realize how good God has been to them. Next, I want you to see in the text that grateful people give back. It says there in the text, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. Here's a stat for you. This may shock you. Grateful people give on average 20% more of their time and money than ungrateful people. How's that for a stat? I got one more for you. Do you remember what the market was like in 2006? Remember what the economy was like in 2006? It was humming along, everything was going great. And then all of a sudden, 2007 and 2008 came. And do you remember what happened in 2007 and 2008? Anybody remember? Here's why I remember what happened in 2007 and 2008 in the economy. You know why? Because I bought my house in 2007. See, I buy high and sell low. That's my apparently the way it works for me. Most people like to buy low and sell high. It just hadn't worked that way for me. I bought up here 2007. So how do I know what the economy was like in 2006? It was just humming along until it fell off the cliff. But here's a stat for you. During the strong bull market of 2006, when things were good, just before the economic collapse, extensive studies were done to determine people's giving patterns, and it was determined that Americans gave, listen to this, gave less per capita than in the worst year of the Great Depression. Ooh, think about that for a minute. This quote from Booker T. Washington, he said, I began learning long ago that those who are happiest are those who do the most for others. Here's what I see in this story, that grateful people realize how good God has been to them, and they give back. They give back. Third thing I see here in the text, it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice, he glorified God. I'll read it to you in another version. It says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. Notice the emotion in his worship towards the Lord. How many of you know grateful people can't help but worship the Lord? It sounds like what the psalmist encouraged us to do. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. It doesn't say so here, but let me add a little so. So enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. And his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Fourthly, I see about this grateful man is that he was humbled. He fell at Jesus' feet. He knew that Jesus had done this for him. It says there in verse 16, he threw himself at Jesus' feet. The late Alex Haley, who wrote Roots, had a unique picture in his office. And the picture was the picture of a turtle sitting on top of a fence post. And whenever somebody would ask Haley about it, he would say, if you see a turtle on a fence post, you know that he had some help. Anytime I start thinking, wow, isn't this marvelous what I've done? I look at that picture and I remember how this turtle, me, got up on that post. How many of you know God has been very good to you? God has brought you where you are. Next, it says there in the text that he verbalized praise unto the Lord. He verbalized thanks. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, verse 16, and he thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. This is for all you young families. A few years ago, Dr. Nick Stinnett of the University of Nebraska conducted a group of studies called the Family Strengths Research Project. Stinnett and his researchers identified six qualities that make up for strong families. Do you know what the first quality was? The first quality, and one of the most important to be found in strong families, was the quality of appreciation. Families that are strong in part, he concluded, because family members expressed gratitude to each other. They expressed their appreciation for what the other members do and for who they are. Lastly, let me say this about the text. It says there in verse 19, I'm going to read it out of the message. It says this, then he said to him, get up. On your way, your faith has healed and saved you. Your faith has healed and saved you. All 10 were healed, but only one was made whole. One version of the Bible says, your faith has made you whole. What was the difference? One was grateful and he expressed it. He fell at Jesus' feet. He turned and gave back. How many of you are hearing me this morning? Let me read you something. A little story. Guy's name is John Kralak. Listen to this. John Kralak wasn't where he wanted to be in life. Anybody ever been there? He wasn't where he wanted to be in life. He'd burned through 2 marriages. He wasn't connected to his children in the way he had hoped. And he was pounding out long hours with little monetary reward for his law practice. The discouragement caused Kralak to remember how his grandfather emphasized the importance of gratitude decades earlier. Sensing a desperate need for a change, Kralak decided to write 365 thank you notes in 12 months. Do the math. Ding, 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 that lady wins the prize. He quickly noticed a significant change. He quickly noticed a significant improvement in his attitude and circumstances. What changed? For a whole year, writing out thank you cards. Thank you, thank you, thank you. No, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. A year later, he penned a memoir about his experience. A simple act of gratitude. How learning to say thank you changed my life. Among his most useful learning points is this. The first effects are you realize that you have a much better life than you thought. Gratitude reminds us that life isn't as bad as we think. And we know from Paul's writing that gratitude ushers in the peace of God into our life. And we read this from Aesop. Aesop's fables, you certainly have heard of them. Greek guy, lived 500 or 600 years before Christ. Here's what he said. He said, gratitude turns what we have into enough. Gratitude turns what we have into enough.